Okay.
This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome back to the Bodie Bros. Bodie Bros are back. We took like a week off because of work, life, stuff, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I am hyped, back, ready to rock and roll, John with a J.
And I'm Phoenix Ray. So today we have something a little different. We're actually be reviewing a story. Now the story is being told by Ram Dass, but it's not Ram Dass's story. It's a story from an Aikido master named Terry Dobson. And, you know, and Ram Dass uses it as an example of just a great story with like good lessons in it.
Yeah, and it's very Bodilicious too. Like when I finished watching it this morning, I was like, Ray has shared this with me before. But I'm always glad to hear it again, especially timing. It's always the perfect timing for a gentle reminder that a message well received. But what was I going to say? You can always pull something new out of it. Oh, yeah. It was Bodilicious. I feel like every one of our episodes leads back, and I'm not going to give it away for those of you that are in the know already know, but it all comes back to the same message. And today I freaked out for a second, right? I was like, are we at the end of the Bodie Bros? Like every episode going to be about the same thing over and over again? You know what? If it is, that's fine because it's a great message. And if it takes us a certain different direction to get to that message, well, then so be it because I love the message. Ray, take it away.
I think I know where you're going with this, right. Where it leads to. Is usually what we say every week is loving awareness.
Yeah.
I guess maybe a good place to start with this is just kind of give like a little recap of what the story is. Just a general, you know, the story starts off, they're on the subway car, a drunk guy, belligerent, comes in there, starts putting a lot of fear into the other people on the train.
And physically pushes a woman and her child, like to the ground. It was surprising that the child didn't get hurt. Like this wasn't just a guy, blah, blah, blah. Like he was putting hands on people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then Terry, he sees this opportunity. He stands up and, you know, he sees that he's been practicing Aikido for, you know, like 8 hours a day for the last 3 years.
Right.
And he's always wanted it. He's never got to actually use his martial art because he says that his master says that anyone, it's about reconciliation. And anyone who has the will to fight has lost their center in the universe.
Right.
But he always still has this desire to be the hero, save the day. And,
right.
And I can get that. You know, if you're practicing all the time, you haven't really got to use it. You know, you probably like, man, this is, you know, to him, this is like, oh, this is it. This is the opportunity. You know, this is for me to take down the bad guy and save the day. And right.
Roll the cameras on the subway because it's going down. And it's funny. It's a very short video, only about 8.5 minutes. So without giving it away, the clip, the link will be down below. The way Ram Dass tells it is great because he injects a lot of humor into it and the way like Terry's handling himself and the things that he says make you giggle while you're watching it. Cause he's like, he's puffing up a little bit and he's like, now I have this, now I'm ready to do that. And as he's saying it, you can actually hear where they're going with this. And you're like, wow, that sounds kind of ridiculous. But at the same time, you're like, man, I feel like I've done this at least once or thrice in my life where I'm like, I have the answer. I'm ready. This is the best way to handle the situation. Or is it?
Right. So right before he's about to engage with the guy, you know, and he looks at the guy and he blows him a kiss.
Okay, he gave away one part, but he does actually blow like a confident little instigated kiss like it's
we're just giving a very little recap here. This does not replace, listen to the story, you know, by Ram Dass, the way he tells it is, you know, I'm not trying to retell the story, just kind of give you the
so
right before the guy's like, all right, you're gonna get a lesson in Japanese manners, and he gets ready to charge at him, and then a split second before he can, they hear this like, hey, this like little old guy in a kimono,
Yeah. Which I envisioned as like a sweater vest kimono, and it was Eckhart Tolle, like, hey, like a little Yoda Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Hey.
Yeah. So he kind of breaks, you know, their attention of what's going on, and the old guy looks at him, and he's like, hey, you know, and he's like, come here, and he's like, you know, why should I listen to you? And he's like, you know, what you been drinking? And he goes, you know, sake, it's none of your business. And then he's like, oh, that's great. You know, I love sake too. You know, and he talks about his wife and how they go out and they drink sake every night and even when it rains. And they're worried about their persimmons tree in the wintertime, if it's going to hold up. And his dad planted that tree. And, you know, he starts getting into all this stuff. And then, you know, the drunk's just like,
and I think let me stop you for a second, right? I think it's important to note at this juncture of the story, what the old man has done is he's opened his heart to connect with this guy's heart. He might be afraid like everyone else is on the subway, but he's taken that fear and just set it aside for a moment. He hasn't suppressed it or denied it. He acknowledges that there's fear there, but I think what he's decided to do was, this is an opportunity to connect with love and potentially diffuse this volatile situation with love. And as he's telling the story, like what I found to be neat was what Ray will reveal in a moment here, is that when you do that, intuitively, things come to you. So maybe the guy wasn't sitting there calculating, going, okay, I'm going to ask him what he drank, then I'm going to talk about my wife and the It came out from a place of love. And what happened by him just doing that was?
Well, like I was going to say, he was diffusing that. And I agree. I don't think it was a calculated. It's like, okay, this fight's happening. I'll yell, hey, and then tell him about my persimmons tree. And, you know, ask him. I don't think it wasn't an analytical thing. I think it just came from the moment and came straight from the heart, because he was in that connection with the unity and everything going on. He was in touch with that loving awareness and saw someone who was suffering and immediately just went to relieve that. So as the old man was trying to follow what the old man was saying, his fists start to unclench and he started to kind of settle down. And the old man said, he's like, oh, and I'm sure you have a beautiful wife. And he's like, no, she died. And I have no home. I have no job. It's like, I'm so ashamed of myself. And he started, he started tearing up, and you could see that energy go right from anger into sadness. And then Terry there, after hearing that, he said he felt dirtier than him, because here he was brought to this guy is obviously going through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And he was, ready to take him down and hurt him even more, so to speak. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hurt more, because he was just assuming, he wasn't going beyond what was going on and seeing the pain that he was in. And so he felt dirty in that. And then the old man, he's like, oh, that's tough. Why don't you come over here and tell me about it? So he, holds space for him to even share more about what's going on and let him speak. And then when Terry gets off the bus, he sits down on the bench and can, kind of rethinks what happened and everything. And he just realizes that, what he wanted to do with muscle was accomplished with kind words. And he says, I've witnessed Aikido in practice, and the essence of it is love.
Mm. Yeah. And even the simplest detail, like the persimmon tree, is what I was alluding to earlier, that came out naturally in the story. He could have just said his wife and he just went out in the garden and drank something, but he got specific, and that's something in the moment that was probably presented to him. Let me share the persimmon tree, and that connected them even closer, because the guy was like, I love persimmons.
Yeah.
What if he was allergic, or what if he hated persimmons because kids used to throw them at him? That wasn't the case, because the story and the share was not coming from a place of fear, anger, or distrust. It was coming from a place of love. And that brought them even closer together in that moment of potential, to human suffering and disaster.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just kind of got him out of that moment, took him out of that fight. And,
yeah,
you know, he saw that the old man was just, you know, treating him with respect, was listening to him and connecting with him and wasn't afraid of him and wasn't, you know, was no threat and just connecting with a pace of respect and love. And
that's what
diffused it. And, you know, I think too, like personally, I've been every single person in that story at one time or another. I've been the guy who was in suffering and a lot of pain, you know, and had a lot of anger.
Right.
I've also been the guy that wanted to stand up to the guy that was drunk and had a lot of anger. And I've also been the old man who has, you know, kind of stepped in and diffused stuff that's been going on and, you know, anger or maybe a potential dangerous situation as well.
I've been the old woman that got pushed to the floor.
Yeah, I think I've been that too.
We probably all have, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a neat way to embrace that story too, and to carry it with us is like Ray has just shared, that we've all played a certain role in that whole experience and life lesson too, and maybe carrying that with us. And again, Ray, thanks for another beautiful, gentle reminder and reintroduction to this story. Every sacred soul that we have the blessed opportunity to touch day after day after day, moment after moment after moment, taking that breath and just taking, I mean, maybe that's all it takes, is taking that one breath before we react and remembering a story like this, remembering a moment like this where, okay, like someone's leaning on their horn behind me and someone's really in a hurry and is really pissed off that I didn't like gun it at the light or whatever, and is screaming through their windshield instead of flying that finger out the side of your window. Maybe you take the breath. Maybe you just do nothing and continue on. Maybe as the car zooms past you, you raise your hand in the air, try to make some eye contact and be like, hey, sorry I slowed you down. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll put my hand on my heart, you know, if I can afford to let go of the wheel with two hands, I'll do that for a second, like if I'm not turning or something. And I'll be like, hey, like, yeah, even if it's not something that I warrants an apology from myself, I think it's a good opportunity to just be like, hey, you know, maybe the person behind, there's the million maybes. I love using this phrase. There's the million maybes. Like, we don't know. We don't know if he just got a text from his wife, his daughter just got rushed to the emergency room. We don't know. You know, we don't know if his boss just fired him and he just bought his first house with his wife and child. And like, it came out of nowhere. And so in this moment, he's just pissed and trying to get to a new job interview. Again, the million maybes, right?
Right. We don't know what someone's carrying with them, you know, not even when they're driving, just someone walks in a room, someone walks in a place, you know, sometimes we make presumptions about people and we don't know what's going on in someone's life.
Yeah.
You know, you may think someone, you meet someone at work is standoffish or, oh, he's a negative person, but you don't know idea what's going on in their personal life. And maybe they're doing their best. Maybe they're trying their hardest to be positive, and they're just trying to, you know, keep holding it together. We don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And this by no means, folks, encourages or does it validate horrible behavior, him pushing the old man on the subway, the guy yelling at me from, you know, at the light the other day or whatever. This doesn't dismiss that wasn't cool at all. And by meeting it with love also doesn't say like, oh, well, how is this person going to learn their lesson? Well, I feel in Ray's story, we all kind of learn how this person learns their lesson is they understand that through human connection and through sharing his or her, their feelings with someone else, that's all most of us ever really need is to be seen, to be heard, to be felt. Right. And all the different pains and in all the different ways that we might be ready to act out and do something horrible to someone or to society. So I'm not saying be Batman and go out there and find all these people. And if someone's, you know, toting a gun or something, be like, hey, I love you. Come here, give me a hug. You know, I'm not saying that, but maybe.
It depends on what the moment. I mean, like we said before, that old man, he acted within the moment. His heart was open, and that's what was, it was loving. Love was coming through him. He wasn't, there was no person, there was no ego attached to that. Just, you know, no agenda, no personal agenda. And he was just, hey, this person's suffering. This is, I'm going to step in and just whatever happens, happens. You know, he was leading through the heart.
Yeah. And the person on the ledge or whatever, when they bring in a, you know, or that has hostages or something like that, and they bring in the negotiator, the trained professional. I don't know if that's always the best person or the best scenario, because that has what Ray says, that has an agenda. You're trying to get the person not to do something. You're trying to get the person to change what they're doing and consider something different versus just listening. And that's all the guy was doing. That on the train was, he was saying like, hey, tell me about what brought you to this moment. Not, hey, stop bothering the people. Hey, there was nothing there telling him that what he had already done was wrong. What he's considering doing was wrong. It was just a direct heart to heart, like, hey, hey, we're all humans here. And without saying a word, we all hurt. We've all been one of these people on the train, yourself included, right? Let's talk about how we can get to a loving place together without even talking about how to get there. Like, let's just be here now and listen to you. And it's a beautiful story, right? I appreciate
it. Yeah. Be here now. Yeah. You know, it's even the people, the person who was the drunk guy, you know, we've kind of all been there too. Maybe not to that extent.
Sure.
But, you know, we've all been going through tough times and we've gotten lost. You know, he was kind of lost in his story, lost in his predicament of what's going on, and his, you know, losing his wife, not having a home, not having that. And you know, we get sometimes, you know, that carries us, those pain or something like that. It's so hard to kind of be present and to be open when in a situation, because it's some of that stuff is so tough. And, you know, it's a good reason why we practice, you know, we practice opening our hearts and practice maybe a meditation or some sort of spiritual practice, is to have that awareness, to know that we're like, oh my God, like I'm getting caught up in my anger, or my, to kind of stop and be like, become aware of that. So we don't create more suffering with other people.
Right. And in this particular story, this person, it seems and sounds like, at least, that they didn't have someone to express that to. They didn't have someone at home or family or neighbor or anything that they could, let's even call it, be angry with, right? And either a friend, a loved one, or a neighbor be like, whoa, 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 Ray, like, whoa, why are you coming at me, bro? Like, it sounded like he got drunk alone and then went to a place where there was people, like the train, and been like, now I'm going to express this suppressed, like, now it's ready to come out. It's ready. And I mean, it's not a great strategy, but subconsciously, as human beings, as this, you know, drunken train stumbler, potentially dangerous individual discovered, we all just want other people. We all.
Yeah.
We always tell each other, we always try to remind each other, like, you're not alone. And it's the hardest thing to hear when you feel like you are absolutely alone. But I don't know, challenge yourself to find a person. Challenge yourself to just sit and see if someone shows up and sits on the park bench next to you, walk along the beach, along the river, through the woods. And maybe put that intention out there, like, I'm so alone, not putting out that manifestation of what you don't want, like, I don't want to be alone, but instead send out that vibration of like, I would really appreciate company right now. I would like one person or a few people to be able to sit with me in this feeling and see what happens. I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, because usually you get into that state to that level is because you lack connection with somebody else, that lack, and you're so caught up in your separateness. And sometimes when we're going through something like that, we feel like we're the only ones in the world. We feel all alone in our pain and our suffering like that. And we think, you know, nobody understands, no one's there, which is, you know, not always the case. It just, sometimes it just seems that way. Right. And if we kind of able to recognize that, you know, I think that we could always find someone to kind of reach out to or talk to, you know, something in some way.
I think it's really going to be difficult for me if I ever find myself in a similar situation moving forward to not go, hey, in that voice too. Like to I'm like, oh man, here's the hey moment.
you know what though, it's I kind of get to where Terry's coming from, you know, being what I do in loss prevention. My job is stopping shoplifters, and I've worked at a lot of different companies before the one I'm at now, and I've worked with a lot of different people. I've trained a lot of people. And just about every company now is all hands off. But back in the day, there was companies that were hands on. You can go hands on with a shoplifter to a degree, but everybody usually always took it further than what it was supposed to. Right. And I remember I worked with somebody, and we would catch a lot of shoplifters. And it's 99% of the time, we would go to stop somebody, they deny it. Like, hey, I need that stuff Becky stole. Like, I didn't take anything. And then it becomes, hey, you know, the piston, you know. Yeah. But I work with people who would just, as soon as they go out and someone's like, I don't know where, you know, denial, get that first denial, their instinct was just to take them down to the ground and wrestle with them and fight them and put their hands on them. And
right.
99% of the time, that creates a small conflict, because now that person is now in that fight or flight mode. They're already in that fight or flight mode. Now you just escalated it. Right. And now that person's going to fight you, and you don't know what that person, same thing. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't know why that person's stealing that. Maybe that person's stealing it to put food on their table, or maybe they're stealing it to sell because they're an addict, and they're, you know, and they have a gun on them. They're ready to like to die for that, you know, to get that high. You don't know. And so I always treated people with respect, no matter what. And I would come up to them and I always do the calm. I never had to put my hands on anybody. A couple times I've had to like maybe like a shoulder, like, hey, listen, like kind of guide somebody. But other than that, it's always been, once I get them to stop and listen to me, I've always got them to come back in.
Right.
You know, some people just smart no matter what.
And that's pretty cool wisdom there too, because I don't think there's anyone out there, Ray, that wants anyone to put hands on them. I am so glad you wrestled me to the floor earlier. Like, I'm so glad, like, you physically hurt me or choked me out. Like, I've witnessed too in retail and stuff, people breaking down and actually apologizing, right, profusely, admitting things, but also saying thank you. Shortly after the crime had been committed too.
I've had people thank me, a shoplifter thank me. It's happened a bunch of times where I've treated somebody kindly, like, hey, listen, you know, sometimes good people make bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll ask them, you know, what's going on? And it's as simple, are you going through a tough time? And I just give them an opportunity to speak. And I'm sure sometimes it's complete BS.
Sure.
Half the time it's probably complete BS, because they're thinking, oh, I could talk myself out of this situation, and I'm going to give you a sob story. But I know too that a lot of them are really telling the truth too, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, I was laid off a few months ago, and I was taking this stuff because, you know, I was just hoping to sell it, and, you know, just make some money, because I have, you know, I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And I treat them like, oh, okay, I understand, you know, where you're coming from, you know, times are tough. And I listen, and I'm just very empathetic towards them. And I treat them like, listen, you know, you be cool with me, I'm cool with you. You know, I'm not gonna play tough guy. And so many people in my industry want to be that tough guy. And I remember, this is a different place I worked at, where we had, I would catch them, and a lot of times the shopping plaza had their own security, separate security, not like, you know, like that. And right. So a lot of times I would bring them in to trust, they would want to trespass somebody from the shopping center, because there was a huge shopping center. So they'd want to do their own trespass. So it was kind of an agreement, if I catch somebody, call them and they'll do a trespass. And I remember like sitting there and the girl comes in there and I'm like, me and the shoplifter are just talking. And she pulls me aside. She's like, you know, you should be mean to them. You know, I can't believe how you're like, you know, everyone else, you know, would like mess with them and be like, it's almost like she was telling me like, and I was kind of like, why would I do that? Why would I stir the pot? Like, why would I not be right. kind? I mean, I don't care. There's no, you're not taking anything from me personally. I'm just doing my job. I approach it. I'm just doing my job. Why would I make my job harder by being, you know, by being an ass to somebody? But she was all like, you should be like, tell me how I should be. And I'm really like, you don't really get it. And this isn't like, right. you know, maybe other people are like that and try to be all high and mighty, like you stole and you should feel bad and I can't be known. I was never like that. I just don't care. First of all, I don't care enough to be that way. And just second of all, it just, like we said before, we don't know where someone's coming from. We don't know if somebody just lost somebody or what they're going through. And I don't carry a weapon. I don't pat anyone down. I don't know what I would do or say could trigger somebody, you know, and I don't know I'm not going to escalate something. And it's just not worth it. It's just not that person. That's a human being right there. And I'm a human being and they're obviously going through something, you know, I'm just going to, you know, be respectful, get my stuff back, do my job. And hey, and I've had, you know, quite a few times where a shopper was like, hey, you know, thank you. Or even when they're being arrested. They're walking out in cuffs. And they'll look at me like, hey, thank you, because I treat them like a human. I treat them like a person.
Right. And for a moment, they felt seen. They felt heard. They felt like someone does care. Like, you know, we have like 10 minutes here. That's a good share, right? Thank you for adding that to today's episode. Let's take this last 10 minutes, though, and shift gears real quick, because we've been talking about, like, situations like potentially criminal or dangerous and all this stuff, but this story, this it doesn't necessarily have to pertain to the extremes, right?
Right.
This could be I'm reading a wonderful book right now that was gifted to me by a friend, thank you very much. Halfway through it, it's The Five Love Languages. You know, we've talked about the love languages before on an episode or two, but I never knew it was a book. It is a book and it's a wonderful book. Go out there and get yourself a copy. It's great. But it talks about spending I'm at the quality time part of the book, mm-hmm. as one of the languages. And it seems like every language, all the five of them, they talk about it on the surface level. And then there's a challenge to go deeper, right? It's not just about words of affirmation. It's about the different ways you can use words of affirmation. What are the different types of words that, and then it builds. So quality time, same thing. Like, it's not just about, you know, going out on a date. It's about what you can do on that date, what maybe you should consider not doing on that date. So with 10 minutes to spare here, my point is take like, take the story, for instance, right? And your loved one wants to just spend some time with you instead of doing Netflix and chill. Well, I mean, yeah, that's nice to sit on the couch and watch a movie together. And there's a time and a place and a space for that. But you're watching something. You're not really connecting, right?
Right. It's not quality.
Right, right. Well, no, okay. Yes and no.
Well, it can be, but.
Right. Because maybe you're talked out, or you just want the TV to watch you, and it's nice to be in the comfort of each other and sharing snacks, whatever.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Right. Yes, it is. But challenges, and this is just one of a million maybes, right? To unplug everything, right? Like on the train, everything was unplugged. You don't hear anything in the story. Guys filming him on the camera. You know, people are calling 911 or anything. It was just human connecting to human, and what a world of difference we can make when we do that with our children, with our Netflix and chill buddy, right? Sit and face each other on the couch. There doesn't have to be an agenda. The greatest agenda in the world is just sharing time with another human being, someone that wants to do that with you, and you want to do it with them. My gosh, that is one of the greatest gifts on this planet. You don't need, now music's fun and music is a mood and movies are fun and they can be entertaining and food and all these other things, but for a portion of the night or the whole damn night, maybe challenge yourself to level up your connection with a person or with the people in your life. Strive for that eye contact. Look, gaze into each other's eyes. It doesn't have to be awkward, especially if you have an intention and talk about like, hey, let's even if it's a friend, it doesn't have to be a lover or a loved one or anything. Like, let's look into each other. Let's trust to a whole nother level. Let's allow to another level and see what comes out. And I think you would be amazed the things that start to come to the surface. A lot of times I've seen folks do this. I've witnessed this myself. You'll start to cry and maybe inexplicably, like, I don't know what, because you're allowing yourself a rare opportunity to do something that most of us just have abandoned. It's so true with all the different options that we have with phones and TVs and connectivity and this and that and this and the million maybes. There's one staring you right in the face, Ray. There's always a person that is ready and maybe not as willing or as invested in this conversation that we are right now, but give them a chance and you never know.
Yeah, and like you said, up-leveling the communication. You know, today everything is a text. You know, I'm gonna text this person like that. Why not? You don't have to go. You know, obviously face to face in person is the best, but why not, instead of texting that friend, call them. Instead of calling them, now maybe even you call somebody, might do a video message. You know, up-level to bring it up more personal instead of just using the technology, the easy way out. The easy way is to be like, oh, you know.
And you know when you call that person, Ray, they're going to be like, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Yeah. But, you know, it's different levels. We've lost some of that human connection through our technology.
So true.
And so it's, you know, we need to kind of come back to that. I mean, you know, me and you, we grew up in the day before, you know, texting and everything like that. You want to talk to a friend, you had to call them.
Right.
If you were a girl, you're interested in a girl, you had to call their house,
right,
and their parents might answer or someone else might answer.
Or you just show up and knock on their door. If you did that today, right, you might get pepper sprayed or arrested, or someone be like, dude, why are you here, man? Like, why are you knocking on my door?
Right.
Like, you could have sent me a text. Let me know you're coming. Like, it's a different world, man. And we think, because of Facebook and this social media, that we're more connected than ever. I feel like we've lost our way. I know I have, to a degree.
Yeah.
And personally, I'm trying to really monitor my time on the social media outlets, and more than ever now, because I feel like I've lost my way with connecting with people. But that's a whole nother episode, a whole nother time. But challenge yourself to connect deeper, to find way. Oh, this was my point. Glad with 3 minutes left. It's okay. You don't always have to be doing something, right, Ray? Like,
right.
It's okay to just be, because that might just very well be the best thing that you can do for yourself and or the person that you're sharing company with.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, if you get, if you're too caught up in doing something, then you're not really paying attention to each other. That's why they say a lot of times, you know, when you go on a date, you know, going to the movies is not a good thing in the beginning, because you're sitting there, you're focused on the movie, you're not focused on the other person, you're not really getting to know the other person as well. Or if you're just, you know, you go out and have a cup of coffee or together or a meal, and you could just, or make something together, it's do something that's going to bring you together and more communication.
We only have 2 minutes, but when the episode ends, I have a story to share with you about watching a movie with someone. Sorry, folks, that's the exclusive Patreon material. No, our Patreon has nothing on it. Don't subscribe to it right now. There's nothing going on there. All right, man, let's wrap it up. We didn't know if we were going to be able to take an 8.5 minute episode video and turn it into something, but Ray said, "You never know, man. We might just start talking," and we did. Folks, go out there, get under the sun, get under a tree. You know what I'm going to say, Ray. Get under the one you love. I'm John with a J.
I'm Phoenix Ray.
See you next time, folks.
And yeah.